Let's take our Bibles and go to the Gospel of Mark. This morning I want to teach on not the power of positive thinking. Not the power of positive thinking. We are involved with something far greater than positive thinking. We are involved with words that are spirit and they are power. Words that bring healing and deliverance in the lives of men and women when they're spoken on the lips of believing and heard with the ears of believing. We're still considering how to truly make a change in our lives. But that change, I don't want to call it a positive change because it's so much bigger than a positive change. It is a great spiritual change that affects our physical lives. The process begins with changing what or how we think. Last week we were considering making faith-based confessions, confessing that word of power, confessing that word that is spirit, confessing that word that is spiritual power, which affects a change in our lives. How we think according to what the scriptures have to say, and making confessions to our hearts in light of what the word of God has to say, will bring spiritual change that will affect our physical lives. Keeping change what you think. You will change your heart if you keep the change of what you think. You will bring change to your heart. Change to your heart will change what you believe, and changing what you believe will change your life, meaning the outcome of your life, what you receive, the results of what you believe. In Mark chapter 11, and in verse 23, the scriptures tell us, "For verily," this is Jesus speaking, it's not just the scriptures, it's our Lord and Savior. These are his words to his disciples, instructing them and helping them to develop, to walk with powerful lives, with victory. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever," what?
"He saith."
It has to be not because he spoke the magic word or he figured out the magical plan, but he spoke words that have power in them, and he believed in his heart, and it affected a physical mountain. Or could affect a physical mountain. It could bring physical change, spiritual words spoken with power on a heart of believing can bring about physical change as well as spiritual changes. Beautiful. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." Why? Because it is spiritual power we are working with, not just positive thinking. Those, you can read books, a dime a dozen. There's tons of them out there that talk about positive thinking. I am talking about acting on words that have spiritual power that bring an effect into the senses realm, the power of God, which makes the change. We began the study with how we think about relationships, husband and wives, in regard to what God has to say to husband and wives, in regard to why God set up marriage for the husband and wife, of those who believe his words. "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them, and for the wives to submit to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." And that's what will bring about the great changes into the senses realm where the power of God has been manifested. Now, if you'd like to look at how we think about our employment, that's the next thing I wanted to look at. But we have to think in terms of spiritual. Most of us know the scripture, if you don't work, neither should you eat. We don't even bother to pay attention to that. We eat anyways. We ought to really take heed to the truth of the word in what God has to say concerning employment, and that we ought to get our minds to the place that this is his instructions to us, and this is the reality that we have. If you are dreading going to work, you're looking at the grind, and I can't afford to quit this job. I have to keep this particular job. I can't afford to quit. And you dread even going there. Then what is your expectations? Well, probably you're going to have a very difficult day because you're pronouncing a confession concerning your work, concerning employment, that will lead you to the place that you will receive what you expect. Difficulties with other employees. Your boss doesn't listen to you. You have wrong thinking concerning the scriptures, and I want to give you right thinking concerning the scriptures so that we move it to the place where it ought to be encircled with truth. You have wrong thinking about the scriptures and what they say about work. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. It's interesting to me that over the years, I better get there myself. It's interesting to me that over the years, many people have come to me and asked me, will you pray for my job? Will you pray for my work? I'm going for an interview. Will you pray that I get this job? And I pray, and they get the job. And it is so from God. Man, this thing, you know, they're telling me, oh, I went to work today. It is so godly, blah, blah, you know, all these different things. And then about 6 months later, this job is from hell. My boss is Seed of the Serpent. The guys I work with are, you know, this and that. And I need to get another job. And I wonder what the heck happened. I mean, how did God get so confused? Well, how did God screw up that prayer request? Well, stop. It's not God screwed it up. It's not that the devil suddenly rushed in there when you got there. It is your thinking that is at fault. And I want to bring you to correct thinking. So I would like for you to put a ribbon here in Colossians chapter 3. And leave it there, because we'll probably come back to it a few times. But in Colossians chapter 3, and we've been working from these records in Colossians, the husband and wife, and now I want to go to the employment situation, or your relationship as an employee, or your relationship as an employer, everything to do with employment. How's that? It says in verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. The word do is the word work. Work. What one does repeatedly. Whatsoever you work, do it. Do the work. How? Heartily as to the Lord. Do the work heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And actually, if you go back and read verse 22, let's read it. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, not just when they're looking and watching you, but in singleness of heart, fearing or respecting God. And whatsoever you work, see the context? Whatsoever you work, work heartily as to the Lord. Bullinger translates heartily as the seat and center of a man's personal life, in which distinctive character of the human manifests itself. And so you say, well, I'm a good person. Well, you must have gotten your good heart confused with all the negative thoughts you dwell on regarding your work, even more that you have allowed to touch your heart. While you're standing there around the water cooler and everybody is bad-mouthing the boss, or everybody is bad-mouthing the company, or everybody's got a complaint about this and everybody's got a complaint about that, and you're hearing all these things and you're allowing them to touch your heart, and you are to work heartily, show those characteristics of one who serves who? And it says the Lord. Work heartily as unto the Lord, right? As unto the Lord, not unto men. Who are you talking to around the water cooler or wherever you're at, you know, wherever you're taking your break, and everybody's got a complaint and everybody's got this? No wonder why you start to think, oh, it's of the devil. You know, because when you first got there, everybody chummed up with you and everybody, you know, was all this. And you became their friend and you became the repository for their negatives concerning the job, concerning the boss, concerning pay, concerning the next job coming up and all these different things. And it will affect your good heart unless you work heartily as to who?
The Lord.
The Lord. See? Well, that's not my heart, Larry. Well, everyone says that. That's all I ever hear from. Well, that's every time something goes wrong, that's not my heart. Well, then how did it happen? If it's not your heart can turn negative. Your heart can corrupt. Your heart can be damaged by these words the same way it can be healed by the words of God. That's why I say, if you change how you think, you can change your heart. With the confessions, those faith-based confessions will change your heart positively. Those negatives that you hear at work and the complaints that you hear will change your heart. How? Negatively. And you know what? You're going to bring that same heart home, and that heart that was positive and was filled with words of spiritual power will now be dominated by words of negatives. And what do you think you're going to be speaking at home? The scriptures say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So listen to what you're speaking. If you listen to what you're speaking, you'll get a good idea of what's going on in your heart. And maybe you need a change of heart. Maybe you need an effusion of spiritual power by making those faith-based confessions into your heart regarding life, but particularly in regard to your work situations. Really something. So you get ensnared by the world and manifest the thinking of the world. Caught up in the rumors, caught up in the innuendo, caught up in the evil speaking of the world. Don't allow your heart to be caught in it. Let your heart be the one that brings words of spiritual power to the situation, not just positive thinking. You know, we need to be positive about our company. No, we need words of power that will change it. Words of power that affect things with great spiritual power. Let's go to Matthew. Leave here in, well, let's, I want to read the rest of this before I get too excited. See. Well, let's leave it here. I'll come back to it. I want to go to Matthew chapter 12. Let's go there. Isn't it good to know this stuff? Because it's so subtle, you don't even know that you're caught. You know, it's like you're walking along and the spider web hits you in the face. You say, "What the dadgummit? I didn't even see that thing." And it does it to us. Now, we're a little stronger than a spider web, and we break right through and keep going, and you'll clean your face off. But some of the things and the negatives, we're stuck, and we need to get out of that stuck situation. And the only thing that will unstick us is those words of spiritual power and allowing them to have an effect in our lives. Matthew chapter 12, let's start in verse 33. It says, Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit what?
Correct.
For a tree is known by his
fruit.
You can tell everybody that you are so Christian. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. You can quote scriptures day and night to people. But if you're showing corrupt fruit, if you're evidencing corrupt fruit, it's going to deny everything you're speaking. And we are to be ambassadors for Christ. And I'm not saying this as a reproof to you. I'm just emphasizing what the scriptures tell us. So that we really rely on the scriptures. They're not just nice phrases and things we like to roll around in our mind. They are things that should have a dynamic effect on our lives because they are words of power. Don't reduce them just to words, or don't reduce them to the words of men. These are the words of God, who said, "Let there be light," and there was what?
Light.
Boy, oh boy, it's not just positive thinking. Now, obviously they are positive, but don't get caught up in, take two positives, go to bed, and when you get up in the morning, take four more positives and then head out the door, that'll cure your ills. No, it won't. Spiritual truth and spiritual power will cure. You know, medicine doesn't actually heal your body. It is your immune system that God put in there that brings about healing in your body, if healing is taking place, or that the power of God in the spoken word is bringing healing to your physical body. All medicines do basically is relieve the symptoms, which then allows your immune system to work a little better, unencumbered by your fears. So many times I have ministered to people, and a half hour later, I felt a little pain there, and all the ministering I've done pretty much starts to go by the wayside. Oh, I feel that pain again. It must not have worked. It does work. It will work. It is the word of God, the power of God. Somebody could stand there and say, "Well, I saw a shadow when God said, 'Let there be light.'" I saw a shadow, so I guess it's not going to be light. Did it stop the light?
No.
No. Just the guy standing in the shadow saw darkness, that's all. Okay. Where was I? Right. Verse 34. Now he's talking to Seed of the Serpent. I understand who he's talking to, but let's sift the truth out of it that we can apply. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what?
Speaks.
A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth what?
Evil.
Yeah. The word treasure, it's pretty interesting. The word treasure is the word thesaurus. A thesaurus is a book of words. There are evil words, and are those evil words, do they have power?
Yes.
And there are spiritual words of truth, and do they have power? Just which thesaurus you want to look at. Let's go with the thesaurus of God's word. Let it be the thesaurus of our hearts. How's that? The treasure of our hearts, our thesaurus. See, find words from the scriptures. Boy, oh boy. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account, therefore in the day of judgment. Well, why don't we allow the positive words in our lives to, when we get to the judgment, let it be something more than next. Let it bring treasure to us. Because we have utilized the words of God now that effect great change in our lives in a wonderful way. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned or judged. We need to remember Proverbs 4, verse 23. And I'm going to turn back there just to make sure I read it very accurately. But we need to keep this, because it says, keep thy heart with all, what's the next word? If it didn't require diligence, God wouldn't say you need diligence. Be aware of what you are speaking. Now, don't drive yourself crazy on it, but at least be aware of what you are saying. You know, we joke around a lot. My wife and I, Jerry, we joke around. We say silly things, and, you know, we repeat jokes to each other and stuff like that. I don't mean be stuffy. Be diligent, though, with the words that you speak, especially in areas you are endeavoring to make changes in your life. Be aware. Be diligent. It requires a diligence. It requires that you be aware. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If your heart, you know, you just said that, and that's what happens. People say, well, that's not my heart. Well, maybe that's not the one you want, but that happens to be the results you're getting, because that's what your heart determines, what you believe, and what you believe determines the results you are going to get in your life. You see why I'm really on this? That it's not just that, you know, it's not just our New Year's resolution. This is a life-changing situation where you are speaking words that are spirit and they are power, and you are affecting change that can be noticed in the physical realm, but it has all the power and the greatness of the spiritual realm. The power of God affecting in your life. And it will affect it. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Let's get to the place where when we speak the word, we're confident what we just said, it's coming to pass. Not, I hope it does. I really would like to believe that it will. You do believe that it will. Believe those words, because they're not just your words. They are God's words, and they are spirit, and they are power, as Jesus Christ told us. And you could look up that scripture. So when you chit-chat around the water cooler, be careful. That's when you really need to be diligent. You can change your heart to the good, but you can also change your heart and allow your heart to putrefy by not keeping it with diligence. The heart can be fragile. Let's look at Luke chapter 6, Gospel of Luke. Luke 6, verse 35. Is that what I wanted? I guess. I don't know why I put that verse down, but that's what I've got here. It says, but love your enemies and do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. If the words you spoke were not spirit and were not power, you would be in a very dangerous place. But they are. Don't let the enemy sow tares while you sleep. That record about, they sowed a field, and when it grew up, there were tares there. And he said, how did these tares come? And he said, an enemy had done this while you were asleep. Don't be asleep at the wheel. Be diligent. Be vigilant. Catch it. And I think particularly around election time, looks like hearts may be turning, perhaps, and our country is turning. But the talk is basically from self-interest. When you hear people talk, I'm for this guy. Why? Because what it does for me. I am interested in what things are done for God. What things are done for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What things bring honor to God. What things bring honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those are the things I am concerned about. All of these other little self-interest groups, will have more rights to do such and such. I'll be able to do more of this and not lose my job. My goodness, that's why it looks like you go to work and it looks like you work at a circus. The way people dress and the different things, it's unbelievable, almost. But all of it's from self-interest, and our hearts corrupt from our speech. Well, let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 23, and whatsoever you work, work heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you, what?
Serve
the Lord Christ. You serve the Lord Christ. My goodness. If you want to change your heart, change those things that you think and speak. I ought to add that in. How you think expressed in your confessions. Make those faith-based confessions, and here is one. Whatsoever you work, try to put emphasis at all the different places. Whatsoever you work, work heartily. That's your faith-based confession. I work for the Lord. Whether I'm at Lowe's, whether I'm here in the chapel, I work for the Lord. And I work heartily toward Him. I pay attention to those who have supervising positions over me at my job, because the Lord told me that. It says, servants obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. So I do what they say, but I do it as if I am working for the Lord, because I am. I am. He is the one I serve. And I happen to be working at Lowe's at that time, and my way of serving Him is how I, with my attitude, my heart, with spiritual power emanating from me, I do my job as they have asked me to do. Because I serve who?
The Lord.
You serve who?
The Lord Christ.
That's right. So when people say, my boss doesn't listen to me, you got the wrong boss. You're looking at the wrong person. Your boss is Jesus Christ. He is the one that sees to it that you will get a reward, it tells us. You're looking to the wrong guy. That's why you are probably having difficulties, if you're having difficulties with your employment and at your job. You're expecting this guy to benefit you on behalf of Jesus Christ. I expect Jesus Christ to benefit me because I stand on His behalf. He is my master. He is my Lord. Not the guy at Lowe's. But I serve that guy at Lowe's with all the duty and love and kindness and obedience that I do to my Lord, because that's what He instructed me to do. But I know who I get my paycheck from. The word serve, you serve the Lord Christ. The word serve is a doulos. You're a bond slave. You do it because you so love. I love my master, as it tells us in the Old Testament. If a man became a bond servant, he would have to go to his master when his term of service was up and say, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my family, I want to be your servant the rest of my life. Because your care for me is better than the care I have for myself. You have taken care of me better than I would ever even take care of myself. I want to be your servant. I want to serve you with the rest of my life. That's how we feel about Jesus Christ. He is the one we serve. We serve the Lord Christ. So who's the boss? Don't forget who you work for and who determines your inheritance. Does He listen to you? Yes, He listens to me in the good. He listens to me in the bad. And I want to speak and profess the truth of the word. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold fast our profession. The word profession is your confession. It's that which you agree with and that which you confess. I want to agree with the Word of God, with everything that Jesus has instructed me, everything that Jesus Christ has shown me. I want to agree with it, and I want to confess it, because His words were with spirit, and His words were with power, and when He spoke them, they had an effect that could be seen in the senses realm. Because they work. That's what we want to do. And we ought to be wise. And if you'll go with me to Proverbs chapter 8. Let me finish Hebrews here. Go ahead and go to Proverbs chapter 8. I'll be right there. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. In Proverbs chapter 8, we ought to be wise, the scriptures tell us. In Proverbs chapter 8, starting in verse 1, because I want you to see what the subject is for this entire proverb. Proverb chapter 8, verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? It's announced, it's there, it's clear to see. The topic we're going to be speaking about is what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom, right, beautiful. Now let's go to, and the subject we're going to is wisdom. Let's go to verse 33. Hear instruction and be what?
Wise.
What? Be wise. And refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Heareth who?
Me.
Subject. Wisdom. Got it? And wisdom is the knowledge of the Word of God applied, put into action. Get wisdom, get understanding, remember? That great verse we covered. Blessed is the man that heareth me, wisdom, watching daily at my gates. Whose gates? Wisdom's. It's the opening, it's the entrance at the gate. Waiting at the doorposts of my doors, ready to just head on in as soon as wisdom says, come on in, we're ready to go. But he that sinneth against me, against who?
Wisdom
doesn't want to act on the knowledge of the truth. What does he do? He wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. In closing, I'd like to go to Proverbs chapter 4. And I'm thinking of this particularly in our employment. How many of you would like a raise? Anybody not want a raise in pay? No? Everybody wants a raise. Okay. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get
understanding.
Exalt her. Her who?
Wisdom.
And she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Well, we ought to be the honorable ones. Joseph knew that, and he prospered. He was promoted. Daniel did that, and he prospered, and he was promoted. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did that, and they were promoted, and they prospered. David did that, and he was promoted, and he prospered. That is the way that our lives should be. You can do it too. And to borrow the words from Mr. Spock, live long and prosper. Bless your hearts.